Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 85. I am Kevin, one of your hosts. I got Yanis over here with me. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. Very hectic day, as you can tell.
Man's got a mattress delivery in about 30 to 40 minutes, so we got to get cracking. We got some Champions League to talk about. We got a heated debate. Me and Yanis have been going back and forth offline about, you'll see later, but I think he's delusional. So we're going to talk about that. I know I'm mysterious, so you have to stay tuned. We'll talk about some big weekend matchups. We had some big teams going head-to-head. And maybe if we have time, we'll talk about some MLS. So let's get to it. Champions League, Europa League. I think this was a good weekend because we saw a lot of crazy things happen, right? What do you want to start with, Europa?
Let's do Champions League. Let's finish with the United-Barca game because that's really the only game in Europa that goes.
All right. Save the best for last. I see how it is.
Just for you. PSG Bayern went sort of as expected. I think Bayern had the upper hand for most of the game. Obviously, like PSG not having like Mbappe for the full game hurts. Messi can only do so much by himself. He got injured again, so I don't think he'll be there for the second leg.
No.
But yeah, it's not looking good for PSG.
I mean, I think we thought PSG have been struggling, right? Bayern have been in form. It was a close game, to be honest. Only 1-0, even with all the things happening. I wasn't too surprised by this result. I thought Bayern would win more convincingly, if anything. But I'm sure PSG got to be worried going into their next matchup because, I mean, they do not want to get eliminated in the round of 16.
Agree, yeah. Plus, I mean, Kingsley Coman, former PSG player, scoring.
Yep.
It was. I kind of wanted that to happen just because it's a good storyline. But yeah, I mean, not a season for PSG that'll be like basically wasted if they can't get a result in Munich. That's sad, but yeah, I don't know what they do from there because now they're talking about selling Neymar too. If that happens,
might blow it all up. Like they might sell Mbappe, might leave. Neymar might leave, the coach is getting fired, they're probably going to bring in some bunch of other players. If they could build around Mbappe, that's probably what they want to do, but
yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a mess. But anyways, that
the
was
big the... one I want to talk about, though. Madrid-Liverpool, because Liverpool started hot. It was 2-0. Liverpool have been in bad form. Then they won the last two games with two clean sheets in the Prem. So people are like, oh, Liverpool, are they on the come up again? Klopp, you know, two clean sheets? What's the happenings? Up 2-0, Darwin Nunez finally scores a goal. Man is like the most expected goals. He has the most expected goals in Europe, and he doesn't score. It's like crazy. And then Salah finally scores.
In all fairness to Nunez, he's had some good moments this season.
Yeah, he has some good moments, but his like finishing is atrocious.
Well, yeah, I mean. Thing is, it's hard for him to like. I feel like he's getting compared to Haaland because he got transferred at the same exact time, and I think for a little bit more money. So that maybe what
I mean. I don't see many comparisons with Haaland.
Different players. They're just tall, but they're different styles.
Yeah, they're tall, but like Nunez is like he's involved in all the goal scoring opportunities,
yeah.
Which is great because it means like you're in the right places and you're doing the right things. But he can't finish a chance to save his life. He has like it's like
that goal was nice. Crazy. Though, to be fair, that was a good goal.
It was a nice goal, but the thing is, like, he has so many chances like that, and he just doesn't score.
Vinicius doesn't hesitate though.
No, and I mean, Real Madrid turned up. They were down. It's like they needed to give Liverpool a little bit of hope to keep the game interesting. And then they were just like, all right, time to play, and it ends 5-2. You got Vinicius with a brace. You got Benzema with a brace. And David Alaba left injured too. Like after the first goal, it was 2-1 for Liverpool. Then Alaba had to leave injured. They brought on Nacho, but that did not slow down Madrid because they were just like it's like Liverpool just collapsed.
Yeah, it's Liverpool. I mean, the midfield just got outrun. By a 37-year-old. Most of the things. It was sad to see. Like Henderson wasn't really. I mean, this is very old Anderson against like old Modric, and that's a mismatch really because Modric got legs, bro. I mean, he's still running like he's 27. It's hard to believe that at this age, like, you have this level of conditioning.
He's still he's still one of the best midfielders in the world. Like, it's fucked up. He's one of the best of all time. Like, and people, I feel like people always kind of like, they kind of say he's one of the best of all time, but then they don't kind of like treat him like it. We are witnessing one of the greatest players in history. Like, it's the things that he does.
He's definitely in that conversation.
It's beautiful to watch, honestly.
Some of the greatest. He's like in the conversation with the Xavi and Iniesta. I would put Kroos in there as well.
And he has the longevity to it too. That's the thing. He has the longevity to it, and he carried his team to multiple really great World Cup performances. Like he got them to a final, last World Cup too. Like he has the team on his back.
Ahead of him right now, for sure. Like I said, like Henderson, Fabinho. Like Liverpool need changes, bro. Liverpool need a lot of changes.
Do they need signings, or is this like mostly on Klopp? Like, because we've seen the same group of players play extremely well. The only thing that's missing is Mane, and it feels like Mane left and the whole club fell apart. But I can't believe that he was one of their best players for sure. But I feel like if you take out a player like that, the club should not be struggling as much as it is. Because defensively, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the Prem anyways. Like they cannot keep a clean sheet to save their life.
The defense is too exposed, and the midfield can't keep the pressing up for like an entire game, or at least most of the game.
I think Fabinho's washed. Personally, he looks awful, and I know they've had some injuries in the back, especially like I know Konate's been injured on and off. Matip has been injured on and off. Van Dijk missed some time. But still.
That's still. I mean, it's a surprising. I think by now that Joe Gomez would have been a decent like option, but even him. It didn't look so great against me. He didn't look good against Madrid at all, to be honest with you. Van Dijk didn't go good as well.
Like they play Milner at right back sometimes. Like it's
yeah. I mean Trent got exposed on I think two goals. I mean, with that one, he was there for sure.
I mean Trent, we knew Trent was not a defensive fullback. He was like why he's good is because he's one of the best offensive fullbacks. But like he's not producing offensively. And he's just getting exposed on the flank. So it's kind of just like, why is he... You got to be doing at least something good, right? Like it's... But you can't... As a defender,
At the beginning of the season, I wasn't too fond of the Trent slender. But there's a few mistakes that he's done this season where I'm like, bro, it's hard to defend. It's hard to defend him for those because he's very like... I looked at the Madrid game, the Militao goal. He's literally marking Militao. And the second the ball, the whistle is blown... Doesn't move, Militao moves and he scores. I mean, there's a there's a few ones something. Like this. Yeah,
getting caught flat-footed.
He has a great productive offensive output, but the defensive output has got to be there too at one point. And I mean, I know that he's not like considered a defensive fullback. I feel like that's probably something that can improve in the future as well. I hope it gets better because he's too good of a player to get to hit for him to get slandered like that. He's gotta be accountable for his mistakes.
I mean, do you think this is the end of the Klopp era? Like, you know, let's say they get eliminated in round of 16. They're not doing anything in the league.
He needs...
Is it done? Is it GG?
I feel like he's done too much of the club for them to just, like, move on from them. First of all, I don't think there's any better options out there. Second of all, I don't think he's been... I mean, what can he do if he's giving the funds to kind of rebuild the team? The better question would be, like, can he rebuild the team to be back to the glory days? Like... I think one thing that we can give credit to Ferguson, I've heard a lot of people say that, is that he was able to, like, produce different teams and achieve different results with, like, different, not necessarily the same style of play, but different teams. He was able to rebuild United multiple times and with great success. Now, I don't know if Klopp is able to do that, but I would be, like, really interested to see if he can. Like, I would like to see him get a chance at that.
The thing is, especially in the Prem, people are not patient. And I think the club, the fans especially, are starting to turn on him. So I don't know, it's hard to come back from that. But, I mean, I agree, he's done so much for the club. He's brought you from, like, nothing to back to the top again. But I feel like it wasn't sustainable. Like, he brought you to the top, and then it lasted, what, like, two seasons? And then they're back to where they were before. So that's why it kind of feels like... maybe the players need a new change or something like that. I still think Klopp is a great manager, but it kind of feels like also his press conferences are kind of depressing. Like it feels like he's always talking about like nothing is going right. We can't do anything right. All the other clubs are like doing stuff that we can't do, blah, blah, blah. It kind of feels like it's just always excuses and not much accountability. And the results are not changing. That's kind of like, I feel like that's why people are kind of getting ticked off and are kind of annoyed with the way he's responding to things. And he's not doing himself any favors.
I don't know. I mean, I think it'll depend on how the season finishes. Personally, I do not see them in any European spots. I don't think they'll qualify for any. So it'll be a question of do they want to start over? Considering that they're also thinking of selling the club too, so that might play a part into it. They want to start over with a new coach, I think the smart plan would be to wait for, if they're gonna sell the club, wait for new ownership and then talk with club from there. If that actually happens, but I think I hope that he gets another season to like try to get back Liverpool to what it was and like. Give him a chance to like rebuild the team with, I guess, because he'll get the money for sure. It's not a money question.
I think he's gonna still be here next year. I think he's gonna still be here. I think they'll be a little bit better to finish the season. They're not gonna be in any European spots, and then next season I think they're gonna do much better. But we'll see how it goes. Honestly, anything can happen. Yeah, we're just kind of projecting right now.
They need bodies, man. They need bodies.
Yeah, they need bodies. Let's talk about
Napoli going all the way.
I mean Napoli. Frankfurt, we kind of expect them to beat Frankfurt pretty handedly. It's kind of, that's what's going to happen. But, I mean, they're one of the most informed teams right now. So I could see them going all the way. Like, we've said it before, they were a dark horse team. Like, they're like silently like a kind of big European juggernaut right now. They do play in the Serie A, which is not like the most competitive right now. They're like, I think they're like 15 points ahead of second place. Like, it's not really, like, they could start playing their backups and closing out these games. The competition in the Serie A has really taken a step back this season. But they're undoubtedly one of the best teams in Europe right now. And like you take them against like a Prem team. I mean, I still think most of the Prem teams ahead of them, like the informed teams. It's a shame that United's not in the Champions League because I feel like that would be a really cool matchup to watch. But I mean, I don't see them beating Madrid. I don't see them being like Bayern or Man City.
If you think
like,
about the two-leg part of it, I think
that's the thing.
I think they could take City. I think Bayern and Madrid would be tough. But outside of those two, I don't really see who else is ahead of them. I think they could take Spurs. Obviously, they can take Milan. Porto wouldn't be an issue. Inter wouldn't be an issue.
The Champions League feels a little weaker this season.
I wouldn't say that. It's always the same. But I think Napoli could create a challenge for... Honestly, like I'm saying that they could beat Madrid or Bayern. If it's two-leg and they manage with two legs, I mean, to an extent... right way, they could get a result against both teams, really. So to me, I think they're more than likely going to be in the semis. That'll be like peak.
I think that's
reasonable. If they can get semis, it'll be a great season for them. And if they get semis and a Serie A, because it looks like it's going to happen more than likely, I think it'll be great for them. But yeah, I think they're in the running. You can't sleep on Napoli. They've been the most consistent team all season, if you ask me. So you can't really sleep on them.
Yep. Let's talk about United and Barca, because this was a Champions League matchup of old. We've seen this matchup go back and forth over the years. Barca have usually had the edge, but this was a great one to watch. I mean, the first game was incredible. The second game was incredible. What are your thoughts before I start going into it more in depth?
I thought it was a classic, one of those classic matches that should have been in the Champions League but wasn't, which is kind of unfortunate. But overall, I thought it was two great games. To be honest with you, I thought Barca should have won more convincingly in the first leg. But United like was resilient and managed to find the result in the second leg, which was great. I thought Barca went away from there. I think United showed a lot of good things.
The first half of the second leg, we played awful. But the halftime adjustments, I mean, tell me.
Garnacho and I think Anthony as well. Those were big. I mean, I think that's winning coaching from Ten Hag there, because he's been.
He's amazing.
He's been great. He saw the deficiencies. He made the changes at halftime. They worked out. They win the game, and that's just winning coaching from him. It's said that it's been probably one of the best tie in Europe this week, probably outside of, if you can include Europa League and Champions League together. it was a great matchup. And I mean, Rashford again, decisive in the first leg. Should have scored in the second, but it didn't. Which happens.
It was close.
He was close. I wonder if there's going to be a lot of question marks from a Barca standpoint. I mean, they've had the chances. I think they were the better. Like I said, they were the better team in the first leg, and they should have put it away at least with 3 goals, if you ask me. But yeah, it's a tough one for them. Now they just got to focus on La Liga, and United has a chance for a lot more trophies than they expected this season.
We're still in for the quadruple, which is crazy. I mean, not the real quadruple, because it'd be the Europa over the Champions League, but it's still not impossible, which is, like, honestly beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, you want to talk about, obviously, you guys have the Carabao Cup tomorrow. What do you expect?
Yeah. Ideally, we wanted to record this after tomorrow so we could talk about that. But I think it's going to be a close matchup, because Newcastle, we know they're a good defensive team. But the thing is, they haven't really been that great recently. Like, they've been conceding goals almost every game. And I'm kind of worried about their offensive prospects. I think Ten Hag is going to have an amazing game plan ready to see. But the one thing I'm worried about is, like, Rashford got maybe a little injured last game. Looked like he was
He came up in the second half, correct?
But later in the game. Like, he didn't get subbed off for that, but we weren't sure if he was, like, completely healthy or not. So I was, like, a little bit worried.
Yeah, maybe it was a prevention for this game.
Yeah, but they didn't sub him off to, like, rest him. They kind of subbed him off, like, because he kind of gets subbed off when we're in the lead and you know, he's ran a lot. He's a little tired. But that's the thing. Like, I think he is the most integral part of our offense. So it'll be interesting to see. But I trust Ten Hag, and I'm just super excited to watch the game.
But apparently, Loris Karius is in net for Newcastle. That was the.
Oh, so we got it in the bag then.
Not necessarily. It's just funny, interesting, because his last game. Apparently, his last game was the Champions League final against Madrid, where it went pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And then obviously after that, he had a couple loans. Then he went back to Liverpool, didn't work out. Got signed by Newcastle. Now I think Pope is injured. Dubravka is cap tied because I think he played for United in the first half of the season. Barlow is, I think, on loan. So now they're only down to one keeper, and that's him. So it's interesting because it's been, I think, like 500 plus days since he's played a match. So I wonder how he'll look. I wonder what it's going to look like. But hopefully he doesn't make any mistakes again.
What's your prediction?
I'm going to say 2-1 United.
2-1 United? I think it'll be 3-1 United. I think we're going to get
Fred,
some goals.
Fred double. Hold on.
Not 3-1. I think it'll be like 1-0. 1-0.
1-0? 1-0?
1-0.
I say Fred double.
Fred double? There's no way.
Bro, Fred's been scoring goals, though. You can't deny that.
He has. But the thing is, like, his goals are never pretty. They're always, like, he has so many. Whenever he has a chance to take a shot on net, the shot is always really bad. And even the ones that he scores, it's kind of just like he's really in the box, and the shot isn't convincing, but it's at the right spot. So I think he can luck into a goal, but two is a lot. I think Rashford gets one. I think Rashford gets one. I think Garnacho maybe gets one. But if I had to pick somebody to score, it's Rashford. It's got to be Rashford. If he plays. If he doesn't play, maybe Bruno.
Bruno is we'll see. Much.
And I really like what Anthony's been doing. We've been kind of going with Sancho more recently, but when Anthony has come on, he's looked really well. He's made an impact. Like, he scored the winner last game, and it was a really good finish. Like, on the volley, kind of place it into the corner. After a couple of shots got blocked, there was a class finish, and I'm just super happy for him. He's only 23. People forget.
Yeah, but see, that's the depth that United needed. Now you got Sancho and Anthony together, and Sancho's been playing well since he came back. So
yeah,
I'm happy to see that. And like you said, Anthony, only 23. He looks. I thought he was like 20, but it makes 23 make sense.
People say he looks older.
He looks older. Yeah, he definitely looks older. I wonder what's gonna happen. But like I said, I'm counting on the Fred double for sure. Okay. Do you want to talk? Because we've obviously talked about Champions League and Europa already, but my quote unquote delusional take of Osimhen over Rashford, is that really delusional? This season specifically.
Yes.
What if you added Vinicius to that?
I think Rashford is the best player in Europe this season. I mean, I don't know how you argue it. It's like all he does is score and produce against the top clubs in the world. And you're telling me that the Osimhen is like better because he's playing in the Serie A and has like a little bit more goal contributions. Like Rashford has 17 or 18 goal contributions, and Osimhen has like three or four more. He's playing in a league where the second place team is like 15 points away. It's ridiculous. Where Rashford's playing against like Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Barca, and he's doing it. You know, so like I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't control where you play, right? Like Osimhen.
Yeah, but you can't control where you play, but you can definitely take it into account when you're comparing.
18 goals in 19 games.
Okay, and look at Rashford.
That's a mad stat. I didn't see Rashford's stats, but my only issue with Rashford is that he started balling out after the World Cup, not before. The numbers show that he was good before, but he wasn't like that level. He wasn't clutch like that, not until after the World Cup. So that's my only issue. Outside of that, like I think he's having a great season. Like you said, he's having a great second half of the season. Probably the most informed player. I think I put Vinicius in that conversation as well, because I think Vinicius is in clutch.
Vinicius is great. They're playing. He's great.
Just playing Atletico right now, I'm expecting him to score, but he's been. I mean, Vinicius in every big game. Like, I mean, it's not just the Madrid, the Liverpool game, but most games this season where they needed a goal and Benzema wasn't maybe like there or wasn't able to provide one, Vinicius did something to create something. So that was, I mean, compared to what he was when he first came to Madrid, he's definitely like improved massively.
For sure.
To me, you have to put him in that conversation as well. But I mean, agree to disagree. I feel like we could put that on Instagram and see what the debate would be like in terms of like who would you pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would probably lean Rashford.
I think he's got it. I think he's done it against the hardest competition. I think he's done it consistently, and he's been the focal point of this Man United rejuvenation. Like he's been Ten Hag's most successful, project. So. To me, it's him undoubtedly. I would take Vinicius over Osimhen, and he's great. But I just think that, you know, Vinicius is also playing on one of the best teams in the world against some of the toughest competition too, and he's also doing it. So that's how I would rank them. But I'm not taking anything away from anybody.
Did you see that? It's kind of not mentioned on our layout, but Casemiro's comments about the Prem versus La Liga.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everybody thinks, right? The Prem is harder because the play is faster, the competition is harder. So I think that's pretty standard, right? I don't think we expected a different answer.
Oh, I didn't expect him to actually like say it out loud like that. It's not the most surprising thing, but it's like
players change clubs and stuff like that, they always kind of favor the club that they're at, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Like if you went from like United to Madrid, I wouldn't be surprised if he said like, oh, La Liga is definitely more difficult or whatever. But I feel like it's not common sense, but it's kind of understood that the Prem is the best and the most competitive league in the world. And that's why every game is a battle, because the worst placed team can beat the best placed team on any given game week. And we don't really see it as often as in other leagues. So
okay.
I think that's fair.
Well, if everybody's gonna know, it's gonna be him. Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's played them both, and he's been honestly seeing. I love Manchester United so much, and I've been getting emotional watching these games. I'm not even joking, because like after the game, seeing the passion of like Casemiro and Lisandro, like you know, just like playing for the badge and being so happy with the result, and just like the team and the camaraderie, everybody together, it just makes me so happy that we're like being super competitive again. And I feel like we haven't had this level of like intensity and quality since the Fergie era, and Ten Hag has like a 72% win rate since he took over the club, and that's like after the rough couple of games that he started with. I think that our first game we lost against Villa, and it was kind of like really bad, but and he hasn't even had like that much to spend in the transfer window. Like he's brought back Dalot to be in form, he's brought back Aaron Wan-Bissaka to be in form. Rashford was abysmal, he wasn't even getting any game time before Ten Hag took over. He brings in Casemiro, who everybody was saying like, oh, he's old, he's washed, whatever, and he's still the best defensive midfielder in the world. Playing Luke Shaw at center back. Jadon Sancho, who was our star signing before he arrived, he benched him, didn't even play him for a while because he didn't feel like he was playing at where he could be. So I just think that like he's done so much with like the tip of the iceberg of what he could have. So I'm just very looking forward to the future.
Well, it's definitely promising. First year for United is promising for sure. There's a lot to go look forward to. I was going to talk about Chelsea a little bit just because of that Chelsea Dortmund game that didn't go on Chelsea's way, even though they should have won, if you ask me, considering every chance that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
It just screams, missing a striker. Like, it screams striker. They need, I don't know. And the thing is, like, they have Aubameyang in the team. I don't know why. I mean, I know he's not in the squad for the Champions League. I'm just surprised by how, like, they haven't used them at all. Lucic, he's been, like, cancelled, mistakenly, by the team. Like, he's not seeing the pitch. He's not even on the bench. They're trying to sell him. He's not trying to. He doesn't want to leave.
I think he just doesn't fit what they want to do.
I think that you'd still think that he would get a chance. Like, it's not like they're doing everything right but scoring goals.
The thing is, Chelsea aren't really.
That's the only thing that they're missing.
They aren't really in the place to have the luxury of giving chances when they're not sure.
But it feels like it's bigger than just chances. Like he's a proven goal scorer. Like everybody knows.
But he's older now, and he's not the same.
He scored. I think he had a few decent chances when he got to Chelsea. I think he got a few decent goals. I get that it's not the same thing, but still, for him to get like not a single minute. And the thing is, the options that are ahead of him aren't really great. Like Havertz is not a striker. We know that. Fofana is unproven. We don't know really what to expect. He's done a decent few decent things, but you put ahead of Aubameyang, I think, is a stretch.
I think they're looking for the future. They know that this season is not really great. It hasn't really gone their way. They don't really have much to compete for this season. Their best thing is they want to fight for that top four. Like, they're not...
Yeah.
I mean, they're still so far away. But I think that's the main thing that they can fight for, because I don't see them doing much or anything else.
Realistically, I think Osimhen could be a great option for them. But if you think about it, like Napoli...
They bought so many strikers over the years, though. Aubameyang, yeah. Werner, they're playing Havertz up top. Like, it's...
And also, if you think about Napoli, like, they bought him for 70 mil. They're not going to sell him for under 150, at least.
And it's, we're talking he's about in form, so they're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah, and we're talking about De Laurentiis here. So he's like, when it comes to, like, owners that are, like, hard to negotiate with, he's up there. Levy and stuff. I don't know what happens with him, but I wish he could come.
I was gonna say, do you think they beat Dortmund? Like, do you think they get passed around the 16? Like, they're down 1-0 after the first leg.
Yeah,
Dortmund have kind of been iffy as well.
They've been iffy, but they're getting results. They've been pretty convincing in the league. If you,
Bellingham is so good. He's gonna go for like 200 plus when he gets sold.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the player that Liverpool should look for, really. But I think. I still want to give Chelsea a chance because it's only 1-0 and it's in the. I mean, it was at home, so it's not the away like leg rule doesn't apply there. But I still want to give Chelsea a chance for some reason. I feel like if they can get a good run of games before the Dortmund game, like they're playing Spurs tomorrow, and I hope that they get that win. I don't know. I feel like I think they could get something. But
how much longer do you think Potter has? Do you think he's like? I know he just came in, but do you think he's at risk or no?
I don't think he's at risk. Every like. Reports have been saying that like Chelsea like trust him, like they're gonna give him time. So seems like he's gonna get this season at least, and then they'll probably reevaluate like next January. But he's gonna get the season for sure, and he's gonna get the off season as well, which is gonna be good for like his.
I think the off season is gonna be the big one.
Yeah, I think he'll get at least another year worth of time.
I mean, I guess we'll see.
At least. I guess we'll see on that one. All right, so we got a couple matchups for this week that we wanted to talk about. Well, not talk about, but just, I guess, grace over. Obviously, Madrid is playing Atletico right now. I was looking at the game before we started, but I think it was 0-0 when I last saw.
Man City is currently beating 0-0. Bournemouth 3-0.
Well, it's Bournemouth. As expected. Arsenal took care of business today against Leicester, so we're still on track. We're looking good. Don't sleep on us.
we're doing it this season, I'm telling you. So what do you have, Madrid Atletico? I think I said Madrid 1-0.
Madrid 1-0. I think Madrid take it. I think Madrid take it.
Madrid take it?
Like 2-0 halftime. 1-0. I think there'll be some goals, but you know Atletico are good defensively. So.
Yeah, they're stacked. They're well. Marseille PSG. I have Marseille winning it. Marseille is back on track. They're doing good. Lots of good results. I'm gonna say 2-1 Marseille.
I think PSG take it.
You think it?
I think PSG will win.
Fair enough. Milan-Atalanta?
Milan, for sure.
Close one. I'm saying draw.
Draw? I think Milan take it.
Close game. Atalanta is not one the team to sleep on. Tomorrow, Spurs-Chelsea. That's big.
I think
both teams, really, but that's big.
I think Chelsea win.
I want to say Chelsea as well. First win under Potter. Under Rena.
Crazy that it would be the first win.
No, right? I think he's played, what, 10 games already? Chelsea? Or am I wrong? Could be wrong. I didn't really count the amount of games, but it's been a minute. He needs a win. They all need a win, really, but he, especially him. And lastly, Bayern, Union Berlin. I know it doesn't sound like a derby or like a big game, but Union Berlin is like fourth in the league right now. And Bayern is on the tail of Dortmund, so they need that win badly. Union Berlin is not a team to be slept on.
No, they're definitely a surprise for the season.
Never mind. They're actually third. They're ahead of Leipzig. They're third right now. And Bayern is, well, because Dortmund won today, so Bayern is actually second. So, I don't know. I think Bayern, I want to say Bayern, but the Union Berlin could surprise. It's a tough one. I'm going to say Berlin wins.
I think Bayern win. I think Bayern win it convincingly.
Convincingly?
Yep.
Right. We got a Bundesliga race for a while, for the first time in a while now, so I'm trying to see if I can extend it for a little longer, which is why I won the Union win. Dortmund took care of Hoffenheim today, so they're ahead. Leipzig isn't too bad right now. It's looking good.
Bundesliga, hey, Leipzig had a good Champions League. I mean, they drew in Man City.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't even think of talk about it. Yeah, that's a big draw. But I mean, do you think City takes care of business at home though?
For sure.
I don't see Leipzig not competing for in the second leg. It could be.
I would love for them to knock City out. That'd be amazing. And I mean, City got to be a little nervous, right? Because only 1-1. That's anybody's game. Yeah. Anything can happen on any given game week. So.
Yeah, especially now that they have because the pressure's on them. It's not Leipzig has nothing.
Most definitely, Leipzig play with house money.
Yeah, that could be interesting. You're right. I'm looking forward to see that one. I'm still saying City should take care of business though.
I mean, they should.
They should. All right. Let's finish with the MLS.
Go for it.
MLS is back. New season starting this weekend. Montreal, I got a big expectation for Montreal. They're starting against Inter Miami today. Hopefully I'm hoping for them to make the playoffs. Obviously, once again, new coach. I think they'll probably keep the same system with like three in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that remains to be seen. But from what you hear, from what the reports say, it seems like he's gonna keep the same system for the most part.
Who's the player we need the most out of this season?
The player we need the most.
Yeah, who's going to be the key part for this season?
Romel Kyoto. Romel!
A striker? You think he's got to turn up?
He's going to turn up. I mean, he turned up last season, so I'm thinking he's going to turn up again.
Yeah, he's 31, but he in the MLS, I think he's proven that he can do it. So.
Age is just a number for him.
Yeah.
He's been consistent for a while now, so he's been one of our best players. I think I'm curious to see... James is going to be the starter for this season. That's going to be interesting. The Brezza is not there anymore, so he's going to be unquestioned starter. What do you expect from James?
I want to see him take a step up this season. I feel like he's been somewhat inconsistent. I feel like some saves that he needs to make, he doesn't make. But I believe that he can do it. I especially believe with more regular game time, I feel like he can get in a groove and show that he's a quality keeper.
Yeah, I think that's big. The consecutive games, especially for a keeper, you need the like that series
of
games.
You get in a groove, you get the confidence.
Exactly. It's going to be big for him. Hopefully it works out well.
He can make saves.
He can make saves. Like that's for sure. He can make saves. We know that for a fact. Yeah, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think Toronto is also going to make the playoffs because now the Insigne and Bernardeschi have been here for like...
Yeah, they should be one of the best teams to watch.
They should be especially with the way they finish the season. Yeah, they should be promising. I don't know about Vancouver, though. That's the one that I still have question marks about Vancouver. My favorite player is Gressel, but...
Who's your surprise team of the season?
Nashville, maybe? No, well, they're not really surprised because they've been pretty good. Maybe New York Red Bulls. Maybe New York Red Bulls.
I mean, they've been strong, but I want to see... I know Inter Miami have been kind of like a late playoff team type of team. I think they can compete, and then I think next season they get a big guy.
You know what? Scratch that. I'm going to say Dallas. FC Dallas.
Dallas?
They got a lot of veterans.
Dallas have been good.
They've been good, but they've never they've never gone to like all the way through. I think this year could be it.
Is it LAFC's season to lose again?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they improved a lot.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's gonna make a comeback as well. They'll be back in the playoff run for sure, mm-hmm. because they can't like tolerate having another bad season like that.
Yeah.
I think Philly might go all the way. I think Philly might go all the way again.
They almost did it last year.
Almost did it last year. I think this year might be it again. So, looking forward for Philly, Atlanta, Dallas. I'm gonna watch for that. And obviously, Montreal. It's gonna be a good. I think it's gonna be a good season. Lots of goals. I wonder if there's gonna be a few like transfers like towards like the summer. Maybe Aubameyang comes here.
I mean, after I think after the European leagues finish, I think we may see some. Shenanigans moves. And some players moving.
Yeah. Busquets might be on the way as well. That's what
that's think? Been. That's to Inter? Rumor.
Inter, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be
it's
fun.
It's been a rumor.
I want to see Inter Miami and my boy David Beckham at the top, so.
Yeah. Okay, so the last topic we'll leave for next week, for the next pod, just because I still have to read a lot about it, and
you got a mattress to set up?
I have a mattress to set up. There's that as well. But yeah, we'll talk about the national team next spot.
Sounds good.
Any last words?
I do want to mention, I've been following the National League, which is in the Prem, the league after the League 2. So they don't actually get funding from the league. But I've been following Wrexham, and it's been really fun because they're doing really well, I want to see them get promoted.
Ryan Reynolds.
My boy Ryan Reynolds. I'm here for it. They have the league in their hands, pretty much. They're basically at so in the National League, only one team gets promoted every season out of 24. The one team gets guaranteed promotion, and then there's a playoff between the next six teams. But they had a devastating loss in the playoffs last season when they finished second, and then they lost in the playoffs. But this season, it's them and Notts County. They're going back and forth to see who's going to finish at the top. It's really just both of them. And Wrexham, if they win all their games, they would win the league. Like, they have games in hand, and they'd be finished. They'd be first. So, okay. I think that's a fun storyline. And if you haven't seen the Welcome to Wrexham series on, I think it's Prime or something, I would watch it. It really makes you invested in the club, and you want to see them do well. So I would say, I know that's kind of random, but I've been really enjoying that. And following the squad, it's been fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a good storyline. I saw a little bit of them when they played Sheffield in the FA Cup.
Yeah, they almost won.
They didn't go their way. They almost won. They were close, but I mean,
they almost won. They had some bad luck in the second leg. Well, they had some bad luck at the end of the first game, and then the replay at Sheffield was bad.
Yeah. The second leg was a tough one. But yeah,
They conceded the tying goal in like 96 minutes or something in the first.
Oh, that was so unlucky. I remember I saw Reynolds' reaction. He was like.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an interview after the game. I think he's been interviewed after, like, every game. It's been devastating.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to have an owner that's kind of, like, in the public like that, that you can see that's, like, really cares about it. And he's in the talks to also purchase the Ottawa Senators, which would be really fun
for hockey. I was just going to mention that, yeah. Isn't he? Yeah, I was going to mention he's part of
I mean, he's not going to be the majority owner, but he wants to be involved because, like, I think that's his, like, growing up team.
Oh, okay. It makes sense, yeah. Canadian pride. I thought he was from Vancouver.
I'm pretty sure he grew up in Ottawa, but I'm not sure.
Fair enough. Anyways, it's good storyline.
Anyways, yeah, thanks for listening to episode 85 of the Forward Pressing Pod. Make sure you follow us on our socials, Forward Pressing, Forward_Pressing, or Forward Press Pod. Make sure you drop us a follow so we're notified every time the episodes go live. We really appreciate it if you made it this long, or if you just fast forwarded it till the end to hear our outro. That's also cool. But thanks a lot, and we hope to see you next episode.
Peace. All right, let me press stop on Craig.